On this episode, we're talking with Marloes Bluck, founder of the Bitless Bridle and bareback pad company, MD Equestrians.
So everything I do is from my own experience. And because I had such a long journey in trying to find a good fitting bridle for me, this is the end result of it.
Welcome to the Equestrian Connection podcast from WeHorse. My name is Danielle Kroll and I'm your host. MD Equestrians is a company that designs and sells bitless bridles and accessories, as well as their new bareback pads. With products available in sizes from miniature to extra large, the mission is to make this way of working with horses accessible for everyone. The founder, Marloes, is a young entrepreneur who had the idea of starting this company after going on her own bitless journey when her horse was showing signs that he didn't want to wear a bit. So on this episode, we discuss what it's like to start and run your own business, her advice to other young equestrian entrepreneurs, being a social media influencer, getting started with bitless riding, the differences between side pole bitless bridles and hackamores, and so much more. She gives some great advice on this episode. So if you're ready to get started, let's dive in. Marloes, welcome to the podcast. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited too.
So what brought you to horses? And what were your first few years like as an equestrian?
So funny story, my parents are actually no horse people at all. I think I got it from my grandpa. He is from Amsterdam. And when he was younger, he used to work on farms around the city. And he would get to ride the really cool big draft horses. And he had early retirement, so he had all the time of the world to take me in front of his bike, to ride around town, and to look at all the horses that were there. He took me to riding schools just to pet the horses. He would take me to driving competitions because he really loved the driving sport. We would go to events, big events. He would show me everything on television from the jumping competitions to the Friesian shows. It was great. And he's still alive today. He still shares this passion with me. And when I was 8 years old, I finally got riding lessons for my birthday from my parents. And that's where it really, really started.
I love that. I love that he introduced you and you guys were able to share that together. That's so nice.
Yeah.
I started riding when I was 8 as well. I started with my riding lessons at that time. So that's I feel like that's a good age.
I think I personally thought it was a bit late. I would love to start it earlier. If it was up to me, I would start at 4.
Yeah. Well, better late than never though, right?
Yeah, true that. Yeah.
So you started riding at 8. What was your upbringing like? Was it more so traditional, specifically using like traditional gear and a traditional way of like going through the riding process and riding journey?
Yeah, I think like most of us did go through the traditional way because it's also been a long time ago. This was like early 2000s, I would say. And the sentiment was still like, the horse has to listen to you, you're the boss, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I always rode in a riding school. And I think with like the bigger riding schools, it's like more about the money than the actual well-being of the horse. Super sad, but it's the way it is, unfortunately. So yeah, that was definitely my upbringing and shaped me really as an equestrian, I think. It was only when I got my first horse, Diego, the horse I still have now, that I had to do it differently because he just wouldn't do it that way. Yeah, I think we all have a similar like story.
Can you tell us about that? Like, tell us about that story of what kind of led you down the path of going bitless and doing things a little bit differently.
Yeah, so my horse Diego, he's a fjord horse. So they're really like the really known as the stubborn, strong-headed, really strong like horses. And he's all of that, but also a very anxious horse. And he was just scared, but scared, anxious, very tense, super pushy, strong. I really struggled the first years I had him. And the way that they told me to do it would just not work, because it would only make him like more tense, more scared. It just did not work. So I was looking into alternative options, how I could like get out of this constant struggle. It was only fighting when I tried to ride him.
Mm.
And there was just not a lot of information out there. And I mean, if you're young, I was 13 when I got him and he was 6. So he was also not really schooled. You listen to adults who you think know best.
Yeah.
That just didn't work for me anymore. So I had to look into alternative options. And when it really clicked for me that a main part of the problem was that he didn't like the bit, is when I tried to put in his bridle, he would put his head in the air and walk away from me. And when I tried to put on the halter, I did not have that problem. So that was when I first started trying out riding bitless. And it did like work in the way that he was not as strong anymore, that he was not that tense anymore, and that he listened to my cues better. So that was actually the start of it. Super hard, because it was not really accepted as a way of riding. Like, this was like 10 years ago. So, yeah.
And how did you overcome that? Because I feel like that's a super common issue, you know?
Yeah.
It's been going on for a while, and I feel like it's still going on, is when you're at a boarding facility. And whether it's the trainer that you're working with, or the facility owner, who sometimes likes to say unsolicited advice and things like that, or maybe that's my experience. and then also the people that you ride with, the people that board there. It can be really challenging if you try to do something that's slightly different than the norm with your horses. Because you just, and even if people don't necessarily say anything to you, you feel a sense of judgment, and that's scary. So how did you overcome that?
So I started practicing this in private, just with a halter. Cause I mean, I was very young at this age. I made like €5 an hour working at the supermarket, and I had to get all this stuff for my horse myself. Pay for it myself. So a good bridle was also like €100 was very expensive if you make €5 an hour. So yeah. I started practicing this in private with just a halter, and then I got enough money to buy a nose pen. And I actually got, this was a terrible first choice, but because there was not a lot of information out there, this was it. But I got the nose bend with this super long hackamore shanks that they use in show jumping. And my sister, she went to her lesson wearing that bridle. And then we lived like 3 minutes away from this, from the barn. And the trainer called me fuming, telling me that I had to come right now to bring the bridle with bit, because I was such an abuser and such a terrible setup, and it could break the nose. Yada, yada, yada. You know how it goes. And that was like such a discouragement in my... It was such so bad for my... for the journey overall, because it was such a setback. But the thing is, I kept on practicing like in secret. Then I bought like a good fitting bridle, and I just showed up like that. It is hard, but I mean, it's also hard if you do something that goes against your own heart, your own feelings.
Yeah, you're right.
I would say that's just as hard.
That's such a good point, that it's like, okay, so you can... At the end of the day, who are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to listen to other people, or are you going to choose to listen to your heart and your horse? That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So we have now gotten to the point where we've gotten a better bridle. You're starting to do something different. What made your decision to start your own company? I mean, like that's a huge step. How did that come along?
So there's like, I've had this horse for over 10 years now. I think it's almost 11 years. And it took me 2 years to fully transition to bitless riding. And between that and the point that I am now, it's a very long time. So a lot of things happened in the meantime. I have always been very interested in everything marketing related. I went to a University of Applied Photography in Amsterdam. So I quit within a year, but I have a background in photography as well. And I did a content creation course. Mm-hmm. And an internship after that. So I had a lot of knowledge in the online world and the tools to start an online business. Also had my account for Diego, my Instagram account, which at the point that I started this business had around 30K followers, I would say. So I had good basics, mm-hmm, to start a business. And I already had an existing business with my photography and social media. I did social media for different companies. Mm-hmm. And one of the companies was Freedom Riding Articles. It's a brand that I also have in the shop now. They have some really good bitless bridles as well, bareback bets, and overall a lot of natural horsemanship products. So I could easily start a business with selling their products, although it's never easy to start a business. And because I did their social media, I knew what people were looking for. And because I had my own social media account as well, and I got asked all the time where I got my bridles from and how they worked, I knew that there was something of a gap in the market for this. And also because going bitless helped me so much, I thought it would be great if I could share this with more people. More people could experience this. But then Freedom Riding Articles have really good bridles, but they're a bit more on the expensive side and more of the basic looks or the Baroque look. And I love all the rose gold and the glitter and everything. I was a bit sad when I had to switch to a bitless bridle all those years ago, because all the pretty dressage bridles with the painted finish and the white padding and the crystals, I loved that. And I could not really find that in bitless styles. So all of that combined was the reason that I started this business. And I have to say, yet I think there's such a gap in the market, and I really feel it too, because there's really nothing else, no brands that exclusively are good in bitless bridles. Yeah.
Okay. I'm obsessed with you. I absolutely love women who are just willing to do question things and make a difference. I just love it. And I'm listening to your story and I'm okay, so here was this young girl, right? Because you were a teenager at the time, you were struggling with Diego. So it's here was this young girl who could have easily stayed safe and stayed within the tradition and kept everybody else happy. And instead you listened to your heart and you listened to your horse and you went against the grain. And I love that. And then you continue to do that. And it's okay, so I see the cost of these other things. And I see that things aren't as flashy and fun. And I know I have these skills and I could just order from somebody else, or I could just promote somebody else's products. And instead I'm going to do my own thing. And I just I just love it. Like, hats off to you. I think what you're doing is so cool and will continue to be super cool. And I just want to give you a big shout out because I think the whole thing is just awesome.
Thank you. That means a lot, truly.
And so it's also probably really hard, right? Like, being a young entrepreneur, being a young female entrepreneur, being an equestrian entrepreneur, what has that been like for you?
It has definitely been a roller coaster and still is. It has its ups and downs, like on the daily. I mean, one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, that's a lot of orders. I mean, this is great. Like, people are actually interested in the brand. And then the next day could be like 4 emails, all things like package loss, shipping, it's broken items, custom duties that go wrong. It's such a roller coaster. Every day is different, but it's so rewarding, I would say. And being an equestrian entrepreneur, I mean, the equestrian community is, as we all know, really toxic. It's so hard. People, feel like they, it's, you know what I mean.
I want to come back to this too. I do want to talk about social media stuff. So let's put it, let's make a note to come back to that because I definitely want to address it.
Yeah. So being an equestrian entrepreneur is hard. Being a female entrepreneur is hard. Because you're not taking as seriously as you deserve, I would say. Like, people would still ask me how my little business is going. Right? Yeah, they still think this is like a hobby project for me or something. Being a young entrepreneur is also hard. Because that's also the thing that you're not taking seriously because of your age. Because I've been an entrepreneur since I was 17, because I did photography and the photography business first. Mm-hmm. And people just, they don't take you seriously, which is sad.
Yeah.
But it's true. But being an entrepreneur, I mean, it also gives you a lot of freedom in everything, in how you plan your days, how you make your money. It can also help you really get financially free. Because I mean, times are hard right now. Mm-hmm. Like, inflation is through the roof. It's super hard to buy a house. Horses are super expensive. And I mean, there's actually money to be made as an entrepreneur. I mean, Not if you think you're going to make a lot of money in the first year. That's not going to happen. But yeah, it's an opportunity for young people, for equestrians, for women to really have a job that they love.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. What advice do you have for anybody that may be considering starting their own business? Specifically within the horse industry.
Yeah. So I have a lot. Like, I mean, I have a e-commerce business. So I mean, being an entrepreneur in the horse world can mean a lot of different things. I mean, you could also be like a trainer or a saddle fitter, which is of course very different from what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But the things I did wrong and what made it very hard the first 2 years to actually have this business was that I wanted everything so quick that I put all my money, time and energy on the line. And the thing you need actually is patience, because it's not going to happen overnight. I also think that's really good to still have a side job or just a job, because you need the money. Mm-hmm. You need investments. You need to sleep at night, because if you quit your job, you're gonna be so stressed all the time.
Yeah.
So really keep the job till you're ready to fully live off your business. I would also say take your time on your market research, because I did not do that enough. So I ended up buying a lot of stock of products that people did not want. What else? I also did not take the time to really review samples, to order samples and review them, and try them out. Because I wanted everything to happen so quick that it was too rushed. So that made the first year so hard. And I would, if I could do it again, I would take my time and keep working a job and take more time to start it right.
Yeah.
You learn a lot from your mistakes, but it's also super stressful if you do it like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really good advice. And just going back to the idea of like the product. So you had mentioned like, you know, really fine tuning your design and things like that. And so for those listening, yeah. I actually just ordered one of the MD Equestrian hackamores for one of my horses. I ordered the Tico style, so the style that doesn't have the brow band, which I love for my horse that doesn't like a lot of stuff around her face. So it was perfect for her. I'm just for logistics looking at, they're shipped from, where are they shipped from?
From the Netherlands.
Okay, so they're shipped from the Netherlands. I live in Nova Scotia, Canada. So we're talking like, that's a trip for the bridle to go. Yeah. Like this is worldwide shipping, which I love because there's so many companies that I want to order from that are over in Europe that I can't get access to. So I love that it's worldwide shipping. Now, also I unpack the shipment when it arrives. I got an adorable little handwritten note, which is lovely. Super cute, like custom wrapping paper and stickers. We love an unboxing moment. And the actual quality of it, I was blown away. The leather is so soft. I didn't need to try to break it in or oil it or anything beforehand. It's so, so lovely. And then I went out and I put it on my mare and I was able to completely custom fit it. It fits her so perfectly. There's so many ways you can adjust it. Like it's not just like, oh, one buckle. There's so many different ways you can really, truly customize it to their face. I'm so impressed. I'm so, so very impressed. And so hats off to you with that. You know, from what you're saying in terms of your business growth, it seems like you're really hitting your mark here. And so how did you start to figure out what you wanted in terms of design? I'm sure that's a huge process.
Yeah.
How do you like pick out your designs and your functions and all of those things with each of the styles?
Yeah, so I'm not like a horse professional in any way. So everything I do is from my own experience. And because I had such a long journey in trying to find a good fitting bridle for me, this is the end result of it. Like I would buy a bridle and I was like, why would this buckle be here? This is so impractical. It will slide in his eye if I,
yes.
I mean, yeah, because the reins, of course, with the bitless bridles are attached to the bridle and not to the bit. So if you, and you obviously have to pull on the reins, so it will slide if it's not like fitted correctly or not the right design. So that's where actually all of my designs come from, like all the failed purchases I made in the past. And what I thought needed to change, I had a really nice, really good bridle, but it didn't have like an anatomical shaped head piece, which are important to have with the hackamore style because it also gives like pressure behind the ears. So they all come from like a lack of good designs that I had in the past or things that I would personally change from the bridles that I have. So and comfort is obviously super important because, I mean, your horse has to be comfortable in it. And with bitless bridles, the bedding has to even be more important than for bitted bridles, because, I mean, yeah, the pressure is on the bridle most of the time. So yeah, that's a few reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Just continuing to speak to the one that I had gotten, it's very padded. So mm-hmm. it seems like it's super comfortable for her. All of the touch points are very padded. It has shaping for her ears. Also, yeah. Part of the reason why I ordered was because it doesn't go in their eye. So it does mm-hmm. have that piece that goes, you know, like around the cheekbones, that keeps it from going towards their eye, which I love, because like you had mentioned, a lot of bitless bridles, they don't necessarily have that. And it does tend to go up towards their eyes. And the other thing too was, I'm trying to think, it was, also just other, specifically like side pulls that I've written in, a lot of times they wing out on the sides.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do that, which is mm-hmm. which is lovely. Like, it stays the shape it's supposed to stay. And so yeah, there's a lot of features to it that I'm very impressed with.
Yeah, that's the biggest part, is the placement of the cheek strap is very important. And I also really like the bridles to have a lot of movement in it, and that's also a thing about the Tico, like, because all the straps are separately adjustable, but also they move mm-hmm. if you actually it's because of the rings and stuff. There's a lot of it's a really nice fit. So yeah, that's what I really love about this bridle too.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with it. Okay, so as we're speaking, I'm speaking specifically to a hackamore style that I had ordered, and I've ridden in I also have a side pull as well. And mm-hmm. so as I'm saying these words, if there's somebody listening that is thinking, I don't know what the difference is, isn't a bitless bridle a bitless bridle? So what would you say is the main differences between a side pull? And then also, there's so many different varieties of hackamore. Let's just specifically speak to like the wheel style of hackamore.
Yes.
So what are the two differences between those if somebody was interested in ordering?
Yeah, so the side pull bridle puts pressure on the nose only. So, if you put pressure on the reins, it puts pressure on the nose. And with a hackamore style, with a star hackamore, it has a little leverage effect and puts pressure on the nose, chin, and behind the ears. And hackamores have a really bad image. People come to me often asking about the bridles, and when I say I think a star hackamore is the best fit, they're always like, but I heard they were super like abusive and could break the nose if you pull on it too hard, all these kinds of things people heard about the hackamore. And this is, they're talking about like the hackamore bridles with the super long shanks. It's a lot of leverage you put on the nose. And these are mostly used with like the chain, mm-hmm. The chain parts. So yeah, they're actually not really, really gentle options for your horse. But the star wheels are, in my opinion, a really good option for a lot of horses. Because some horses really don't like the one pressure point which the side pull gives, and because the star shanks they divide the pressure really well, a lot of horses actually like this, and the leverage is so little, but it gives you just that extra. For me, it's I could ride my horse with such light contact with the mm-hmm. with a bridle like this, but then other horses, they prefer the side pull because they think it's too much, all the different pressure points and the little leverage that it has. So that's the main difference, like the pressure points of the bridle.
Yeah. I've only, so far I've only used the hackamore just in hand. I'm just preparing my mare to ride her again. And so we've just done some in-hand exercises and I barely have to touch it. Like I barely have to touch the reins. She's like, no, I hear you loud and clear. Like you don't. And so we love that. We love a super gentle contact where I barely have to use any rein aid at all, because it's like we're speaking very clear communication, and it's lovely.
Yeah. And both options are really good. They're both very gentle options, and both have direct release. So when you have no pressure on the reins, there's no pressure on the bridle, which is something different if you use like a cheek cross or a chin cross diet.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. There's, we're only like skimming the surface here, but you can do so much of a deep dive between like all the different styles. And like you said, there are some that sometimes there's a little bit of a misconception that if it's bitless, it's gentle. And that's not necessarily always the case. Like you referenced like the big long shanks and like the curb chains and things like that. Like sometimes you do get the ones that are actually a little bit more severe if they're used with harsh hands. And so it's really making sure that you know, what you're like the gear that you're using, and then also know the aids and like the proper way of like you said, like releasing and lag aids and seat aids and all of those things are, you know, more important. So it's really a whole separate education. And so if somebody was looking, they're thinking, okay, I currently ride with a bit, I'm interested in dipping my toe in bitless, but I don't really know how to get started. My horse has only ever been ridden in a bit. What would you recommend that they do?
There's also always an easy way to try out like with riding with a halter. So it's an easy way to see if your horse, it's not a bitless bridle, of course, it's very different, but you can try out riding with a halter first and see how your horse would react. Because if your horse is perfect with a halter, like a side pull bridle is a really good fit for you. It's usually the more laid back chilled horses that do really well on a side pull. Also like the more sensitive ones. And then this is a very black and white story, with mostly the more stronger, little more nervous, pushy horses do better on the star hackamore. But if you're really in between, the best option to get is the star hackamore, because there's actually, because it has like the wheel setting, you can put your reins on different parts of the wheel. So you could also try it out as a side pull if you clip reins on a different part.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point. Are you feeling inspired by this conversation to try bitless riding with your horse? Good news. Here at WeHorse.com, we have a variety of online courses that cover everything from getting started with bitless riding to advancing your riding without a bit. Check out WeHorse.com for a free 7-day trial to get started. And as a member, you get access to everything in our WeHorse library to watch whenever you want. And we also have an app, which means you can download a course or a video to watch without Wi-Fi, which is perfect for those days at the barn when you just want a quick dose of training inspiration before your ride. So what are you waiting for? Go to WeHorse.com and get our free 7-day trial to access our WeHorse library, see if it's a good fit for you, and start training with bitless riders like Alize Fromont and a variety of other amazing trainers. We can't wait to see you in there. And now back to the episode. Okay, so that's a perfect, like you said, it's black and white. So of course, everybody needs to do their own research. And figure out what's going to work best with their horse and where they're currently at with their riding. But that's a great kind of a overview of the difference between the two. And then also like how to go about getting started. Would that be also, would you say, okay, you mentioned starting riding with a halter. I think that pretty much answers everybody. It'd be just kind of work that in, maybe like switch on, so you're not going just straight into bitless. Would you also say maybe like doing like
lighter rides, starting with like your halter or your bitless bridle, and then like slowly making the transition? Or do you think it would just be like, just make the change?
Yeah, so I think that I did change it up a little bit in the beginning, like try the bitless bridle and still use my bridle with bits sometimes. I also did a lot of groundwork and try to use the bridle from the ground first to get, like you said, you did too, get a little used to it. But I also have to say that I tried a lot of horses bitless for the first time. Also with the photo shoots we did for the brand, I did most of the photo shoots with my friends and some of them never ridden in a bitless bridle with their horse ever before and never had any problems with any horse acting out or anything like that. So it's, I think like some people are really scared to try it out because they also told me that my horse was too strong and it would be dangerous if I tried him in a bitless bridle. But in my personal experience, it was that something, it was never dangerous or anything. And it just takes a little getting used to for them. And some take longer with that than others. But I would say, like, do whatever feels best for you. If the bridle works really well, I mean, you could use it like every time you go for a ride. And if you feel like you need some more getting used to, or you just have the bitless bridle to have some more diversity in your training, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever is best for you and your horse, I would say.
And now you also, you have quite a bit of information on your social media pages as well, like the MDM Equestrians social media page. And so that's really helpful for people too, that they can go on and they can look at like some of the difference. I know you've done reels and social media posts about the difference between the different bridles. So like your different styles, here's the difference between the two of them. You saw also done posts about the difference between a side pole and a Star Hackamore. And things like that. So that's a really good resource for people as well, if they go on the MD Equestrians social media, and we'll of course link that in the show notes. And so keeping, you know, with social media here, you also have, you had mentioned this earlier as well, about your large social media following. So you have a large just personal social media following apart from MD Equestrians on both Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
What has the growth been like for you with that, in terms of balancing being a business owner and then also an influencer? Has it been helpful for your business? Can we, you know, just talk a little bit about your own social media presence?
Yeah, so I have a TikTok account for me and Diego. I have a TikTok account for MD Equestrians. I have, for both businesses, an Instagram account and then also a personal account, which is a lot to manage, but they also really complement each other. And was also like the thing that gave me confidence to start this business was because I already had like, I believe it was like 30,000 followers when on my account with Diego when I started this business. And that was, that was one of the main reasons that I thought I could start this business. And they, like I said, they really complement each other. Like people on my Diego account ask me all the time about why I started Bitless, why I have the bridles that I have, where I get my bridles from. And then the MD Christians account, where I can give more information and show off the bridles a little more. So they work really well together. Also, a lot of time managing them all.
TikTok
as well.
Yeah, that's wild. You're gonna have to like give an online course on time management or something, because I don't know how you fit it all in. You also, I've been noticing. So one thing I love about your I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok. I think it's just my, well, I shouldn't say that there are a lot of people my age on TikTok, but I just personally don't spend a ton of time on TikTok. I'm more of an Instagram. Yeah. And I have been noticing the thing that I love about your Instagram is you're very real. You're not afraid to say, hey, my horse and I are struggling with this. And you show people, and it just makes it so much more relatable versus like making everything look so picture perfect all the time. And you've gotten some like backlash about that. You've gotten some negative comments and, you know, and things like that. What has your experience been like, in terms of trying to find that happy medium between being real on social media and also like kind of protecting yourself from the toxicity of it, you know, and the people in the comments?
So, yeah, I feel like we all, of course, struggle with our own battles with our horses. Like none of us are perfect horse owners and we all go to a lot of the same struggles too. And I feel like the only thing that helps you grow in a time like this on social media, where it's such a like saturated market, everyone has a horse account these days if you own a horse. The only thing that people really want to see is that they're not like alone in their struggles. I mean, I also try to make that not, it's my content is funny. I try to make funny, relatable content, but also want to show people that you don't only have happy days, and that also really helps with your community building. So it's that, because I also like to see that other people struggle with the same things as I do. And yeah, that also attracts like a lot of negativity, of course. I mean, that's also because you're growing. Like some videos go viral and they're viewed like millions of times. I mean, of course you're going to get some hate out of it. And I have to say that I'm still trying to figure out how to not be affected by it. Because even though you get so many like nice and lovely comments and you really reach your goal of the people that finding a community and people with like doing similar stuff to you, that's the goal. Even though you reach that goal, you still have the people hating on you all the time. I mean, it's not really nice waking up to someone who wrote like 8 messages saying how they think you're a terrible rider and a terrible owner and terrible this, that. I mean, that's it's pretty hard not to be affected by it, especially when it's on a subject that you've struggled with for a very long time. Yeah. But yeah, the overall positivity is what gets me going, of course. I mean, yeah.
Well, I have to say, from those of us who don't have the time or energy to troll people in the comments, I think what you're doing is fantastic. And I love that. So you had a video go viral not too long ago, and it went viral because it got a lot of negative comments, and you addressed it. You addressed it with additional content as well. And I love that you did that, because you kind of brought awareness to the idea that it's like, hey guys, like there's a real person behind this account. And like, when you say these negative things, like it kind of sucks. And I love that you did that. I would love to say that hopefully it helped people think twice before they write comments. I can't imagine that it, like, I don't know why people feel the need to be negative in comments. Like I said, I don't have the time or energy. Who has the time to, you know, start comment fights? You know, you got to find something else to do. But I think that what you're doing with your content is fantastic, and it's real and it's relatable. And I'm, you know, it's helpful for those that see themselves in it as well.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you.
Do you have any advice for anybody else who's looking to grow their following, whether it's on TikTok or whether it's on Instagram? I know that there's a slightly different strategy for both, but do you have any advice if anybody wanted to grow their own social media following?
Yes, I do. Like, Instagram is for me my main focus for both my business and my account About Diego, because Instagram has a really, at least I on Instagram have a really like stable engagement on there, and TikTok for some reason is only like 5k views or a million views. It's really you can't really rely on TikTok because it's so unstable. So I use TikTok for more like not funny videos or just quick videos, or there's much more on my TikTok than there is on my Instagram account. But on my Instagram account, the things that really helped me grow were reels, actually only reels. And I think people want to be either inspired or they want to have a good laugh. So it's just with people. I mean, it can look pretty, but if there's nothing in it, there's, I mean, if I don't know if I'm coming off rude now.
No, just, you're not. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's so there has to be, people have to learn something from it, or they have to like enjoy the context. So I do use a lot of like, I always make sure that there is text in it as well, that there's written something written in it, so people have to read. It also helps if it's like not really, it doesn't always have to be a controversial topic, but people like to share their own experience, and that's how you build the community as well. So start the conversation, I would say, either in the video or the caption, and that's where you actually grow, because you have to have engaged people in your posts. So, and also find the thing that makes you unique, because there's so many accounts on social media now that you really have to find your unique selling point. Could be anything. I think for me, it's with my business, of course, it's the Bitless Bridles and the Bareback Bet and all the information I can share on it. And then with my account About Diego, it's like he's a fjord horse. We do like a lot of bitless riding. I talk a lot about our trail riding experience. That's the thing that makes us. And if you find that what makes you special and make content about that, I think that's the only way you can still grow.
Mm-hmm. That's such good advice. You've shared a ton of really good advice on this podcast, so thank you. And you know, I'm sure everybody listening will be thanking you as well, because there's been, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's like trusting your heart and your intuition, whether it's growing on social media, figuring out what bridles for you, you know, all of these different things, you've shared so much good advice. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And what the equestrian industry is certainly changing. There's lots of like, whether we're talking in terms of welfare, whether we're talking in terms of people being more conscious of XYZ, you name it, the industry is certainly changing. Do you have like a certain hope that you you know, are looking to in the future, that you hope the industry goes in a certain direction? Or what do you think in terms of the future of the horse industry?
Yeah, I think there's so much more interest now in topics like this, like the bitless riding, but also like keeping your horses outside more in a more natural way, like doing the positive reinforcement training, everything like that. It is slowly moving in that direction. And that's something that makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. So I hope that only grows from now on. I'm sure it will. You see it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But I'm hoping that like of course, with social media and the algorithm and things like that, it's like what you like and what you follow and whatever is what you get shown more. And so my bubble, I feel like I'm in my little bubble of like this like happy equestrian space where like everybody's doing the right thing. And I know that that's not necessarily the truth because it's just the information that I see. But the more people I speak to, the more they're like, oh, well, that's I'm seeing it too. So I'm really hoping that that's it's not just this little happy bubble that I'm in, that it's actually the industry changing for the better. Yeah, absolutely. We have four rapid fire questions that we ask every guest at the end of the podcast. And the first one is, do you have a motto or a favorite saying?
Yes, I do. I would say like the secret to your success is found in your daily routine.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good one.
Yeah, that goes for everything. Like your health, the way you work with your horse and your business
Very, very good. Yeah, completely agree. Who has been the most influential person in your equestrian journey?
Ooh, I wouldn't say it was one person. I would say that it's the people I've been following on Instagram for a very long time. I get a lot of my inspiration from Instagram.
If you do, you have any specific, before I jump to the next one, do you have any specific accounts, you want to shout out?
I think I love, and I've been following her for so long. I love to follow Mathilde Brandt. Okay. I guess she's from Norway. She lives in this beautiful part of Norway with all the, she has all her horses at home now. She has a beautiful track system. She talks a lot about like keeping your horses natural way, like her approach to training is something that really resonates with me. I love following her, and I love following Eva Roemaat. I don't know, she's also a Dutch girl. She had the Haflinger. Like back in the days, she had a really big YouTube account, and she has been the one that really got me into bitters riding, to be honest. Yeah. So this is only two, but the first one really inspired me to keep my horse out 24/7 outside on a track system. And I think the other girl is the one that really got me into bitless riding. I think that's the main two accounts that really inspired me.
Awesome. If you could give equestrians one piece of advice, what would it be?
Follow your heart, your own instinct always, because it's always the best way.
Yeah.
Don't listen to people. Like you wouldn't go to for advice.
I love that. I actually just said that to my husband the other night. It's like not to be an Instagram quote, but
no. Yeah.
And the final one, please complete this sentence for me. Horses are.
Or my relaxing time. I love it.
Yeah. Where can people find you and how can they connect with you?
They can find me on Instagram, MD Equestrians and Diego Emmerloos. And then the same goes for like my Instagram handles or my TikTok handles are the same, or my website, mdequestrians.com.
Awesome. So we'll put everything in the show notes so everybody can find it. And I hope that they check out your accounts. I hope that they check out your all of your awesome products. I know that I'm going to be a repeat customer. I have two different sized horses, so that means I have to get two different products. So I'll be probably placing an order here soon for my gelding. So thank you so much for coming on. I've had such a good time talking with you. And like I said, you've gave such good advice. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I had a lot of fun talking to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Equestrian Connection podcast by WeHorse. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you could leave us a rating and review, as well as share us on social media.
You can find us on Instagram at WeHorse_USA and check out our free 7-day trial on WeHorse.com, where you can access over 175 courses with top trainers from around the world in a variety of topics and disciplines. Until next time, be kind to yourself, your horses, and others.